It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre, and thank you, Lariats. Welcome, welcome everyone to Sinner's Sunday, the world's longest running Saturday after party, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, and all the women are pointy. So let's say you were in an antique store or a pawn shop and found something that just jazzed you. You had to have it. Maybe it's a vintage guitar. And you get it home and discover in that sound box is a piece of folded paper. You shake it like a lost pick and finally slip it between the strings. It's so old that, as you do, edges of it crumble. And you open it up, and it's a handwritten note. Difficult to read. The ink is faded and the penmanship is strange. And so you read it aloud in an attempt to sound it out. And as you read, you realize you're not reading English. Might be Latin or some other dead language. As you near the end of the passage, wind kicks up, not outside, but inside your house. And suddenly the room begins to vibrate and then shake like there's an earthquake, and there's a blinding flash of smoke, and before you appears something or someone. It's strange yet familiar. Something terrifying yet seductive. Something you cannot look away from. It has eyes and a face and a mouth, and you hear its words, but no sound escapes its lips. You have unwittingly spoken an incantation and have summoned a satanic entity. You hear its words inside your head, and it offers you everything and everyone you have ever coveted. From your preschool buddy's tricycle to the prom queen who would not give you the time of day to the yacht on the cover of this month's Rob Report. Limitless wealth, fame, women, and all it asks in exchange is something you're not sure you even have. Your soul. Maybe you're a smart negotiator and you ask for references. And he gives you dozens. All people who are sick rich with fantastic lives and beautiful wives and girlfriends and everything anyone could ever want. Now and from centuries ago. And here you are, busting your ass week to week just to make the rent. What's your answer going to be, How about, let me run this by my attorney and I'll get back to you. Or maybe you try to negotiate better terms, which for some reason no one ever does when this scene unfolds in books and movies. Why does it have to be eternity in hell? The most you're going to get out of this life is maybe 50 or 60 years from now. Even with all he's offering, eternity is hardly a good trade. How about 50 years in hell and then you can leave? This might be too big a subject for just one gathering, The devil is mighty big territory. Does Satan exist? If so, why? Who is he? What does he want? Is it a he or she or something in between? And what about all his minions, those demons, who often say throughout the Bible, we are legion, which in Roman times meant a unit of 3,000 to 6,000 men, or more recently, just vast numbers, a horde. The easy explanation is that yin and yang, right? Good and evil, heaven and hell. If there's a God, why shouldn't there be a devil? And the devil is everywhere in the Bible. He even had a couple of in-person meetings with JC. And in one of those gospels says that before JC went to heaven, he did a little time in hell. But then you get to the, wait a minute, if God is almighty, why would he allow this enemy to exist, with a thought he could destroy Satan and eliminate all the temptation and pain and suffering he supposedly causes. If all the misery of the world is caused by Satan and he's the source of evil, why should he be allowed to exist? For that matter, if Satan is a fallen angel, and God is all-knowing, why would he have created the devil in the first place? We'll circle back to that in a little bit. Satan is one very popular dude, huh? Or he could be a chick, as we imagined in episode 96. What is the attraction of Satan? That's simple. God's promises are kind of long-term, right? Be good in this life, keep your nose clean, and in the next life, you'll be all set. Satan pays off like Vegas, on the spot. All the earthly delights, money, power, sex, whatever you want, buy now, pay later. And that's the American way, isn't it? And how often do we suspect that of people with undeserved success, that they've made a deal with the devil? The rich actor who can't act, the auto-tuned diva, the corporate mogul who's really an idiot, and most of all, the politician. Oh, those last two categories, the corporate tools and the politicians, they really fuel the sell-your-soul-to-the-devil narrative. So little talent, so little intelligence, nothing but ambition and greed. But maybe that's all you really need. The alleged leg up from Satan is just a way for everyone else to feel, superior to them, at least morally, spiritually. But if the high-end Satanists are Satanists, they're pretty adept at keeping it a secret. The other Satanists, the ones who boldly trumpet their preference for the left-hand path, as they sometimes call it, they mustn't be very good negotiators. They're often pathetic teenage kids. You don't have to look too deep to realize they find the left-hand path attractive because they are powerless, often pawns of a school system or a justice system or tragically screwed-up families. And Satan is the big brother they've always needed, someone to cover their back and kick ass for them. So they draw some pentagrams and maybe wear one and learn a few names like Baal and Baphomet, and they attempt to conjure a demon. Maybe they get high, build a little fire down by the railroad tracks, and say some mumbo-jumbo, and then nothing. But still they persist and swear allegiance because they think maybe others will find their religious affiliation intimidating. Literature and entertainment is teeming with these stories of success traded for souls. One of the oldest is Faust, but the updated version we dig even more is Robert Johnson, the Delta bluesman, and maybe the charter member of the 27 Club, also made famous by Jimi Hendrix and Morrison and others. Johnson was a knock-around musician who was a verified three-chord Johnny. He had no chops and no prospects. Well known as a fun guy, but a lousy guitar player. And the legend is someone told him to go down to a certain crossroads in Clarksdale, Mississippi, one midnight. And there he met a large, shadowy man who carefully tuned Robert's Gibson flat top. And when he handed it back to Robert, he could suddenly play like no one had ever before. Not just killer technique, but fresh riffs that came from... Where did those come from? Just about overnight, Johnson, who had been performing on street corners, was sought after for better gigs and recordings. He liked the ladies, especially married ones, it seems. And one night at a gig, a jealous husband laced Robert's drink with poison. And after 3 days in agony, he was dead. What's the takeaway? How about Robert Johnson was a lousy negotiator? What good is posthumous fame? And we still love stories about the devil worship, right? And all the ancillary stuff, witches and warlocks and vampires and covens, it all springs from the same source, the dark side. Even though its founder and pope has been dead for a couple decades, we still often hear about his Church of Satan. Oh, the mythology that has sprung up around that little enterprise. When most people hear the words Church of Satan, they assume it must be a church, like a Roman Catholic or Lutheran or Episcopalian, something with buildings, maybe even cathedrals, and thousands, if not millions, of followers. Of course, those assumptions would be erroneous. The Church of Satan was dreamed up back in the 1960s by a fascinating guy named Anton Zandor LaVey. And he wrote a best-selling book that kind of launched the church. It was called The Satanic Bible. And it was a clever little book that actually contained some pretty good advice. I first mentioned it in episode 22, Psychic Vampires. It was a smart phrase which LaVey may have coined. Not a word about human or animal sacrifice and such. Not really anti-Christian either. More of a how to be good to yourself guide with an overlay of occultism. LaVey bought an old shotgun shack in San Francisco and painted it black and called it the Church of Satan and himself the Black Pope. But only his robes were black. And in this tiny house, LaVey loaded up on the right props. Black and red velvet drapes, braziers, torches, pentagrams, and an altar. Then he rented the props that ensured instant attention. He hired a few strippers to come in and pose nude with him. Well, in a hot minute, Anton had himself a church and plenty of parishioners. In the mid-60s, this was hot stuff. And LaVey got a lot of press for a while and tried very hard to spin it into a profitable enterprise. And now people hear the name LaVey and the church he founded and believe it's still a going concern and a locus of evil and debauchery. One would think that LaVey, claiming to have a direct line to near-limitless powers of darkness, would have lived in splendor, when in fact, he never got rich, or even close to it. Eventually, the house was foreclosed on and demolished. Some people, probably flat-earth idiots and fake moon-landing people, claim the Church of Satan was the Hotel California in the Eagle Song. Well, it was on California Street, but it was not on a dark desert highway, and it wasn't such a lovely place, just kind of a dump. I've always been curious about LaVey, and all my curiosity was satiated by a brief clip on YouTube. There, he is interviewed by a guy named Joe Pine, and in that short video, it's crystal clear that LaVey was just a guy trying to make a buck and have some fun. He realized there was a cultural vacuum, and he could fill it with some hocus-pocus and devil shtick. He'd washed out as a musician, and a circus performer, and a police photographer, so why not try Pope of the Satanic Church? I'll post a link to that interview at thatlarryshow.com. It's really pretty funny. Now some will doubtless say I'm wrong. Why, just look! The Church of Satan is alive and well. They've got a website. Indeed they do. Using an oddball Day of the Locust Radio City kind of Art Deco font. I'm a font freak, by the way. And if you peruse their site, which I'll post a link to as well, not only does it contain grammatical and spelling errors, you soon realize that not much seems to be happening at the Church of Satan. It's mostly just a look back to the glory days of the swinging 60s in the city by the bay. So are there real Satanists? Well, there have been hundreds of satanic cults and gods throughout the ages, and some achieved some pretty big followings. But what about now? The question might be moot. Whether Satan is real or not, there's no question that evil is. And it is everywhere. The old saw says that the devil's greatest trick is to convince people that he doesn't exist. Maybe so. Many claim the Robert Johnson legend is alive and well today, that Beyonce and Katy Perry and Nicki Minaj and Timberlake are all practicing Satanists, if not outright possessed by demons. Well, Nicki and Beyonce certainly sometimes look like they're on fire. Like I said at the top, this is such a vast area, it's way too much to explore in one shot. Maybe we'll do some more another time. And before I forget, why would God create Satan in the first place? Well, how much fun is solitaire or tennis for one? Can we tickle ourselves? What good is life without a challenge? Maybe that's the answer. Whether you believe in the devil or not, here is an odd tidbit to consider. God around the world has many, many different looks. In the West, it's usually the white-haired, mighty old man. In the East, it might be an animal or a woman with several arms. But demons, however, they look pretty much the same no matter which culture on earth depicts them. A consistent look. Now, why would that be? Hey, thanks for hanging with me, everyone. Come back and see us for the regular show this Tuesday, where we'll cover a lot of ground, including helping you figure out how to get over the one that got away. Support this ministry at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Write to us at thatlarryshow@gmail.com, and we will see you Tuesday.